Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others.
That was an excerpt from Coach Carter. That was the character Cruz, performed by Rick Gonzalez. Very good actor. I love seeing him in shows and movies. He recited a poem from Marianne Williamson, I believe. And I think they only left out like one or two stanzas from like the original poem, but it fit the movie. Like the way they did it fit the movie perfectly. That's a very powerful poem. That was a very powerful moment, which is going to fit good with my topic for today. I am AJ, the Agitated One, and this is the Agitator's Asylum. This is season 3, episode number 2, and that 2 is very significant right now. But what I'm going to talk about when I get into it. Last couple of weeks I've been feeling lazy. Like, I went to work, like, I was off for like 12 or 13 days a couple of weeks ago, and I really enjoyed being off, other than I got some stuff done, but being off 12 or 13 days, I didn't work out, only worked out 3 times. Almost didn't get there. I worked out once, and it was like days before I worked out again, and luckily I went back to back 2 days before I went back to work. But I don't like that. That's too many days. And then, not to work out at least 5 or 6 times, and then also get a lot more housework done. Got some stuff done that really need to be done, but not a lot. Just enough to say, hey, it wasn't a waste, but not enough to feel good about. Went back to work. I felt very accomplished at work. Got a lot of stuff done. I had to go back to like 450 emails, but 90% of the emails or more don't apply to us, or not directly. Some of it can be important information for what we do day to day, but mostly it's not directly related. Nothing we got to respond to, just information. But still got to go through it to make sure. And obviously I'm not reading all the emails, because once I get to a certain point, I'm like, okay, it's not for me, you know, whatever. And I got to be careful, because once you get into that mode, you kind of start just clicking delete, then you're like, okay, I got to read some of these. I got to make sure it's not for me. Anyway, good week at work. Went to a comedy show Friday night. Went to see Michael Collier. Decent. It was most of his old jokes from back in the day he's been telling. I think he's coming out with another special or a special. So I'm definitely hoping that special has none of the jokes from, 10, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Like, please, like, I hope it's all new jokes. But he still did a decent job. Even telling the old jokes, he still did okay. His opener, again, another opener that bombed. I mean, he really bombed, but he had a couple of funny jokes. And the dude that went second is his name, Meech Dog. He's from Louisville. He actually did a very, very good job. So it was a good night. Got to see Michael Collier up close and personal. Like, as soon as I got there, he was already in the bar area because he had just left the other show. And it wasn't like a fight to get in there. It was like just went downstairs, checked in, got, metal detector, whatever, went downstairs. It was cool. Got to see him, got to talk to him a little bit, and, he went on and did the show. Rest of the weekend was just a lazy weekend. Just lazy, man. I washed clothes because, like, Reagan threw up in our bed because she came to sleep with us, and I think she caught the stomach bug that the boys had. I think she or them, it was floating around the house. Tiny was the only one that didn't get it, so the boys had it. Then they just had diarrhea. It wasn't bad. No one ever actually felt, like, super sick. Reagan just threw up. She was the only one that actually threw up. So, she still was being herself. She just didn't have much of an appetite. And she was playing. I was trying to keep her away from, trying not to keep recycling this bug. But it got me a little bit. But she threw up like 2 or 3 times. I'm like, yo, we got to clean so many sheets and covers and beds. And I'm like, yo, come on. So spent most of the weekend doing that. Other than that, being lazy, taking naps, not really getting a lot done. So trying to break that habit, because today I did not feel that way. I didn't feel lazy. I still didn't get a lot done, other than I finished my favorite show, The Blacklist. One of my favorite shows, Blacklist. It's 10 seasons, and I didn't realize that this season was the last one because I always wait till it gets on Netflix before I watch it. And I didn't realize this was the last season, but I like the way they did the show. So anybody gets a chance to see it, it'd be a good show to watch. I also finished, finally, after about 4 years of trying to read this book, if I'm not mistaken, the Michelle Obama book, like whatever her first book was. It just finally finished it today before I started working on this podcast. It's a decent read. I just couldn't get into it. It just wasn't grabbing me the way other books do. For some reason, that's why I struggled. So I kept having to put it down and come back to it. I would have to read other books or just take a break period. But I read several other books before I actually finished this one. So I was like, okay, this time I'm going to finish this book. I'm not going to pick up another book until I read this book. So I finished it today. So now I can move on to something else because I got several books I have to read. And a lot of these books I've had for years. And I never read them. But anyway, my topic for today is being number two. I never had an issue being number two. And what I mean by that, again, I watched Blacklist. And most of the season on Blacklist, Dembe was my favorite character. If you ever seen the show, if you get a chance to watch it, if I'm not mistaken, the African guy named Dembe. He was, Raymond Reddison is the main character, and he was his number two. Raymond Reddison was a criminal that just had a major enterprise, major, like, drug network, no, organization, whatever, that was, like, all over the world. And he was a mastermind. And Dembe was his right-hand man. But he was number two. I was cool with that. He was his protector. He was his student. He was... You know, and they had a very deep connection because he found him somewhere and he took care of him. He taught him. And, you know, Dembe had a family that, you know, he didn't spend a lot of time with, but he was with Raymond Reddison like a lot. But like I said, he was his right hand man. He didn't mind playing his position. I'm like that. I don't want to be the top guy. I don't mind playing. If you got me at number two, like on my job right now, I'm number two. On my shift, I'm the number two guy. I don't mind it. I'm cool with it. I don't want to be the top guy. Too much responsibility. I ain't gonna lie. You have to know yourself. Again, I'm gonna get to some more of this, but Dembe, my favorite character, number two. You watch The Wire. It was a lot of guys that had, you know, these drug dealers. They had number twos. So Avon had Stringer Bell. Stringer Bell's number two is a very powerful number two. Very know how to get stuff done. He was very, very smart dude. Marlo, Chris was his number two. You had other people in the show that had number twos. It's another movie that I want to reference from 2005. It's called Bloodline. And in this movie, I think these brothers grew up. Both of them might have been criminals at one point, but either way, one of them became a police officer. The other was a drug dealer. And the drug dealer had a number two. And this was the first time where like I really paid attention to someone saying that guy knows how to play his position. So my cousin Reek, he was showing us the movie. And while we was watching the movie, the number two ended up being in a situation with some drugs, some money, or somewhere he got robbed. And he was pissed about it. But he knew he had to tell the number one guy, which was his boy. But still, in the game, when it comes to business, you got to handle business the way you handle it. So he told his boy, he wasn't expecting his boy to help him, but he had to tell him because he's the number one. That's the top guy. He said, look, man, I got raw. I have a conversation with him. And the guy got on him about it. And he was pissed. Now, you know, of course he was pissed because the boy had to get on, but he was more pissed that he got robbed. But he didn't ask him for no help. He knew what he had to do, but he knew that he had to let him know what was going on. Get the stuff back. So he goes out by himself. He figured out who robbed him. He go get the stuff back. He did his job. He come back. You know, everything good. He knew how to play his position because he never had ambitions of being the number one guy. He knew how to play his position. And it's been several movies and shows and stuff like that you watch, and you know who the number one person is. And most people always saying it's somebody under them that wants them to die. You know, if you watch a movie or a TV show, that wants them to get caught. I'm pretty sure it's been vice presidents that was waiting for a president to pass away or something to happen to them or them to get indicted so they can be president. You know what I'm saying? Somebody wants to be the number one person. Some people just want it for the title. They don't want the job. That's why like people are like, hey, AJ, you want to be a supervisor? No, not right now, because it'll just be a title. For me to say, oh, I'm the supervisor. No. I want to be more than that. I don't want to be a empty uniform. I want to be in the position but not know what I'm doing. Even though I know they'll train you, but I don't feel like I'm ready to handle the responsibility of that. I'm the number two guy. So my supervisor has been training me to do a lot of things that he does, but I can't do everything, obviously, because I don't have the title. I don't have that. Don't have those responsibilities, but I am considered a lead on my shift, and I'm cool with that. The stuff he's been teaching me has been cool. He's a very good supervisor because he teaches me a lot. He makes sure I understand. He makes sure I know. And he was like, yo, I'm trying to help you. But he always asking, do you want to be a the next supervisor? And I said, no, I'm good. I said, my kids are too young for that. This would be a stressful job. Like, it might not be stressful to you, but I know it will be stressful to me. I don't want to do that to myself or my family, because this job can be stressful enough. But I said, I'm fine where I am. I have, great benefits. I make, I do good. So I was like, I'm good where I am right now. But over my lifetime, I've had so many opportunities that I let go by. I have a lot of failures. I know what it's like to fail. I can take you back. When I was still living in Enfield, one of my friends that I started hanging out with before I left Enfield, he was a sport. He played a lot of sports. So he was playing. He was going out for a baseball team. And he said, hey, man, I'm going to be in your area tomorrow. I'm going out for baseball. And I said, okay. And I asked my father. I said, hey, you mind if I go with my boy? He's going to baseball tryouts. And I think my dad probably, being a man, he probably said, hey, you do you want to do that? And I probably told him, no, I don't remember that conversation, but in my mind, he probably asked me. And I probably told him, no, I'm just going to go out there with him. He said, okay, whatever. I go out there. I'm the only boy on the field that's not playing. I'm literally sitting down the whole practice. Now, I do not remember this. I only remember one part of this practice. This is when everybody was lining up, if I'm not mistaken, to bat, because I think they had done everything else. That's the only part I remember. I was sitting down on something like a carton or something. I was sitting down, and the boy's about to go to bat, and the coach finally looked at me. He said, hey, man, you want to turn? And I said, nah, man, I'm good. And I'm probably like in sixth grade, if I'm not mistaken. I'm like 12. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I felt like, dude, really? You just going to sit here? Like, he offered you a position. I probably know the guy. Like, to this day, I just can't remember who the coach was at the time, but I probably know him. But I was like, I really just sat here instead of taking the opportunity. Because he asked me. I wasn't there to try out, but he asked me, like, yo, you the only, like, looking at me like, you the only kid out here that ain't trying. Like, you sure? And I always remember that. I always felt bad about it, because I said I could have tried, because I probably would have loved baseball, but I never tried. And I would have had fun, because I'm pretty sure I knew a bunch of the kids out there. But I've done that a lot in my life. I've missed opportunities. I used to work for UPS. Now, I worked the night shift, which was the easier shift to me, because that morning shift, first of all, they got up too early. And that night shift, it was more unloading. Not saying it wasn't hard, because it was a lot of guys that worked positions that were hard because they had to sort the packages. I didn't work that. I worked the unload section. And the only thing I had to do mostly was get the stuff off the truck. Now, it was hard because it was some heavy packages sometimes that I had to do by myself. But I liked that. It was 4 hours of work. Pretty decent. I went out of there every night sweating. Like, it was a hard job, but it wasn't the worst, but my dad was like, man, you got to keep that job, because you can work up to be a driver, you can work up being a corporate office. I didn't want to be in that. I didn't want to do that, so I got out of it, went to nursing school. I failed nursing school twice, actually. Wasn't for me. I kind of did something similar in the military, but I did decent, but I was still mediocre. I was mediocre in the military. So I know what it's like to be mediocre. I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to not give my all. And I know what it's like to have something that I like and be like, okay, I want this. What I do now, I'm not going to say I always gave it my all, but I do like what I do. And I can actually say I actually love what I do. Not every day, but I like it. I've been doing it for the last, 13 years, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I've been doing it for the last, going on 14 years. And during the 14 years, I have tried another profession, because I had a mentor or two, and I had people that were connected to other people that tried to get me in different areas. I was trying to use my degree. I was trying to maximize my potential, or at least maximize opportunities that I didn't know were available. I said, because this could lead to something else. So I tried to be in the fire department. I made it halfway through the program, realized it was a certain part of the program that I just didn't like. And I said, if this happens to me, which, you know, could be rare, could not happen at all. But I said, no, I'm good. I just couldn't get my mind wrapped around it. And I was doing pretty good. But my heart wasn't in it. Every day I went to that program, I knew I did not want to be there. So it wasn't as hard to quit as some people would have thought. I didn't have no problem. As soon as I quit, honestly, my supervisor from my job that I left found out, and he said, hey man, you know you can start back tomorrow. And I said, okay. I said, yeah, that's cool. I said, do you mind? I said, look, I might need a little time off. And he said, that's fine, you can start back next week. And I took my weekend off or whatever, came back. Which was good, because somebody actually wanted me. I don't usually have a problem with people wanting me, but I'm getting older. And I think about the opportunities that I miss because I'm either not taking advantage, I'm either doing stuff that I really, really, really don't want to do because somebody suggested it and I'm not thinking for myself, or I'm neglecting the potential that I have, because I've had so many powerful people in great positions, especially black men, say, hey man, you can be a highway patrol officer. Hey man, you can be in the fire department. Hey man, you can be a supervisor. Hey man, I can help you. When I was in the military, my cousin was like, man, I can help you move up. I can help you get a job that you really want. I had a lot of people willing to help me because I never gave any of them issues. And I usually did my job, and I usually had a good name. I've messed up in my lifetime, you know, before, but I've been blessed to bounce back. But I've been blessed, and I've had so many people that want me and say, man, you're smart, you're educated, I can help you. And I would talk to them, I would kind of keep the guys in mind. A lot of people have great relationships. I didn't burn any bridges that I know of. I'm still, like, I talked to him, like the guy that I can kind of consider my mentor. I talked to him today, and he was doing something because he's always elevating his career, even though he's like can retire. Like, he done had so many jobs and had so many positions. He is good, but he keeps looking for opportunities. And I was like, hey, man, what you need from me? He said, hey, I just need you to do this for me. And I immediately did it. I was like, okay, I got you. He's about to do something like major. And I said, hey, man, you were there for me all them times. Like, it didn't work out, but he was trying. He tried to get me in so many different positions. It just never worked out, or I wasn't putting in my all. And that's what I'm afraid of. That poem holds so true, because I feel inadequate sometimes. A lot of times I'm just lazy and don't want to do the work that I think is going to require. I said, that's going to require a lot of work. Or I'm afraid that I'm going to be super good at it, but I'm going to have to keep getting better or keep being super good. And sometimes I just want to relax and go back to just chilling. But you can't do that. Sometimes once you get into a mode, you got to keep going with it and maximize it. Or I'm afraid that I'm going to be a supervisor or something and absolutely like just bomb at it, like that, like those comedians I've been seeing, this bomb, and I'm gonna feel bad because I don't want to fail at everything. Like parenthood, ain't no do-overs. These kids grow up, you make a mistake, that mistake is made. Ain't no do-overs. A job, yeah, you might make a mistake, but it's, you can recover. Hopefully it ain't a terrible mistake. You can recover and get better and, you know, and make up for it. But some things you can't make up for. I'm getting older. I can't keep playing number two all the time. Or I can't keep. I got to find something worth putting my all into. Even if it's not necessarily my job might be fine. It might be some volunteer work I need to get into. Church. Like, I haven't been a member of a church in years. So long. I've been to church before COVID. We were going, you know, kind of consistently, not all the time, but I mean more than usual. I really want to go to Word Tabernacle. If I was closer to Rocky Mount, it wouldn't even be a question. I would be there. It's no excuse because I live close enough, but I know myself trying to get up in the morning, even though I got to do it for work. But most of the time, I get my kids ready. I'm off, you know, in the days of my wife off, she getting the kids ready. So it's not like a lot of parents who have to get up and get their kids ready for school, and then they got to go to work. We've been blessed that we kind of work opposite schedules. And most of the time, whoever's getting the kids ready for work either have enough time to get to work and the other person is home or whatever. It's somebody home most of the time. And yeah. There's no excuse. I can get up 4 o'clock in the morning to get ready for work. Why can't I get up 5, 6 o'clock in the morning to get ready for church and give God praise for a couple of hours? I don't understand why I'm not. And that's another thing. Like you can't play that with God. He is number one. And we are all in his kingdom. And he gave us life. And like every day we wake up, we should be thankful. It's nothing wrong with feeling a certain type of way about, like, I don't have a problem being number two. If I was an actor, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't mind being a supporting actor because the lead person needs good support actors. That's okay sometimes in certain positions, but not my whole life. You can't sit back your whole life. Sometimes you got to step up and be a leader. And the times that I stepped up, I didn't necessarily step up to be a leader. I was put in a position because somebody left or somebody saw something in me and they made me do it. But I said, AJ, you're 39 years old. People can't keep having to push you because eventually they're going to stop pushing. They're going to push somebody else. They're going to find somebody else because it's going to be another young buck. Because I'm not that dude no more. I'm not in my 20s no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the young gunner anymore. But I am still marketable. I still have a great name. I am still young enough to get a lot of stuff done. I'm not old. But I'm saying it's going to come a time when it's like, okay, they're not checking for you anymore. They're not willing to help you. It's going to be somebody coming up under you, somebody coming up around it. They're like, okay, we got to spend our time with this guy because he's young and he has more time. We can work with him. We can mold him. That guy right there, he 30, he 39, he about to be 40. He might be setting his ways. We need to move on to the person that's still trying to figure life out. So again, I have no problem. Like I said, still, you know, like I said, if I was to do a podcast, like my partner that I want to do a podcast with, the first idea I had for a podcast, I was going to be number two to him. We were going to be equal at certain points, but I know he was going to be the main attraction. I don't have a problem with that. That's his personality. He has a very strong personality. He was going to be amazing if we could have got that podcast going. You know, I probably have way more followers right now. We probably way out there right now because I know how he is. But I knew I wasn't ready for that because I was like, dude, I still got a job. I'm not ready for that type of podcast yet. So I did this by myself because, you know, I don't curse on my podcast. I don't play music with the curse words in it. I might play songs that have those words, but, you know, I cut it off at a certain point. I don't play, you know, I try to keep this podcast clean because I want everybody to be able to listen to it. Again, nothing wrong with knowing yourself, but sometimes you realize I got to step out of my comfort level. I got to stop being afraid that I'm going to fail. Or I got to stop being afraid that I am that guy. I might be that guy in certain areas, certain places. I might need to be that dude and be proud of it and be willing to do the work to maintain it or make something out of it. There's nothing wrong with that. And I need to work just as hard to make sure my kids have those opportunities. I need to work just as hard as I do. As early as I get up to go to work, I need to get up and go to church and get my kids in church, stop making excuses. Because guess what the pastor just did? The pastor ain't, he used to have, when in his old church, he used to do several sermons because they didn't have a lot of parking. So I think he used to do 3 or 4 services a day. For the people that been going to work for years, you know better than I do. But now he's dropped down to 1. But now he just announced that he's going to do 2 services because they're having an issue with parking. Even though they got a big place, it's still not enough parking for the congregation that he has. 2 services. Again, that number coming up. 2. I don't have an excuse. 8 and 10. If I can't make a 10 o'clock service, I'm doing something wrong. If I can't get up early enough to get my family to a 10 o'clock service, I am living life wrong. And I am. I got to do better on a lot of fronts. Again, powerful poem. I know myself, so I know certain positions I don't want to put myself in, but I need to learn how to chase the opportunity to see where it leads me. Stop being afraid that everyone else is better. Stop being afraid that people are going to think I'm dumb, or people are going to think I'm inadequate, or somebody's going to think I'm incompetent. People have thought that before. I've worked jobs where people looked at me like I was crazy because I didn't know what I was doing. And I can admit it. That's why sometimes, like, my cousins know, like, they joke about, hey, AJ, you know what I'm saying? You know, AJ, it's going to take him a while to catch up. Like, most of the time they say it, I'm like, I heard what you said. I just didn't react. But, you know, and I get upset about it because I have thought about myself that way. I know I'm smart, but I know I'm not the smartest person. I don't learn things, everything quickly. It takes me time to learn stuff. I can admit it. I know myself. I don't know everything about myself. It's still some stuff I'm trying to figure out, but I know some of my, I might consider them limitations. A lot of times not limitations, it's just fear. Fear is holding me back. Because I don't want to be looked at a certain way. But I'm holding myself back being afraid, like, if I don't try it, I'm never going to know. Right? And that's what I got to get through my head. And that's what I want to instill in my children. You're not going to know if you don't ask. You're not going to know if you keep playing the back seat. My son just went out for, my wife just signed my son up for soccer. I took him to his first practice. He was having a good time. She took him to another practice, and then they, like, was supposed to have a game Saturday. If they had a game, I didn't take him because the weather was horrible. I'm not taking him out there. But before that, in school, some of his classmates play soccer. And I said, my wife said, I'm sitting here staring at your son, because she was about to pick him up, and his class is, like, one of the last classes to go outside to play. Before the school, she got out there kind of early so she could see him, and she said, your son is sitting down and his classmates are playing soccer. And I asked him when we got home, I said, why weren't you playing? You know you need as much practice as possible. But he said, well, Dad, I had practice tonight, so I didn't want to play at school and then have practice. And I said, no, that's not how that works. If you see an opportunity to do something that you're already doing or you're a part of, you should take advantage of it. Not every time, but I'm talking about, you're not a soccer player at all. We didn't grow up teaching you playing soccer. We don't play soccer around here. You want to play, you got to take every opportunity to play. If your kid, your friends are playing at school, that probably means that either they just having fun or somebody out there might know what they're doing. Take advantage. And then when you go to soccer practice, that's more practice. Take advantage of every opportunity. I'm trying to get that through their head. Right now, you're not always going to feel like it. I know that feeling. No, but sometimes you just got to do it. If I don't do it for myself, I definitely don't want my kids to think the way I think. I don't want them to be afraid. I don't want them to miss opportunities, because I'm telling you, I've had so many people in my corner. I've been a blessed young man, but I could be so much further if I had taken people up on their offer, or at least stayed in contact with them and not been afraid to, because I hate wasting people's time. And I knew that I wasn't ready for the stuff that they were throwing at me. I'm like, I'm not ready for that. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's all I had to say. And the only thing I had to say was, hey, man, I don't want to do that. But if you have another opportunity, or you know something else, hey, man, keep me in mind. The mentor I was talking about, he would call me for everything. He's like, hey, man, you got this. Hey, man, I got that. The last thing he called me for was a job with Progress Energy, if I'm not mistaken. And this was right when I took the job that I have now. And he said, hey, man, I got this job and it pays a lot of money. But I was like, nope, because it's outside. I'm going to have to go out during storms. And I don't know. I mean, it probably got good benefits. I don't know, but it's private sector. And I was like, it's climbing poles. I was like, you know what? I'm good. Nah, I'm good. I got my job. And I was blessed. I'm glad I stayed where I was, because I ended up telling him why. And I think he was like, yeah, I kind of understand. You know, he was trying to help me, but that was the last time I think he offered me the job. But I told him what I was doing. And guess what? I'm so blessed that I stayed where I was, because my benefits are great. My pay has increased a lot. Actually, like I said, you had your ups and downs, but it's been a great journey, and it's helped me build my resume up a lot more. And I'm glad I stuck to my guns on this one, but I'm glad I had somebody willing to help me do something else if I want to try it. And that's what I want. Until I figure this thing out, I'm hoping just to start building more connections. But I definitely want to start building connections, because my kids got to have somebody to look to. I got to teach them to look out for opportunities, but I also got to make sure that we know people that can help them when they need help. You need help writing a resume. If I don't know how to help you with a resume, this person over here. if you want to do music, maybe I can help you find somebody that does music. You got a couple family members that do music. I can put you with them for a little while, and then they can lead you to somebody else. They can lead you to these programs. You got people who work in. I got a couple family members that work in HR. For like Wake County. Hey, or work for Duke. Hey. We got some connections in certain areas. Now we just need to build a network of people to call for everything. I should have at least 3 numbers for lawyers just in case. I don't want to ever need a lawyer for anything. You're going to need a lawyer eventually for something, but I'm hoping anything criminal or anything like super bad, but I'm saying you just never know. You need legal advice sometimes. You need to know people. I know a couple of realtors. I know more than a couple. I know several. That's good because I know if I need a house or I need some advice or I want to ask a question, I got several sources I can go to. I need a network to know. I want to be like Raymond Reddison. Please go watch that show. Even if I want to be who I am, it still pays to know people that know somebody that can get something done. It's nothing wrong. Raymond Reddison had a network of people that knew how to do stuff that he couldn't do for himself. He could get it done. He had all the information. I just want my kids to have all the information. And hopefully one day I decide to be that person that is not afraid to put in the work to learn information, to learn things, and to ask questions and to go do what it is I want to do. Right now, my goals, my long-term goals is to be forever fit. So I'm back to working out, but I got to consistent. Another goal, find a church home for me and my family. Solidify my career. Be a quality time dad, not just a dad where people look at you and say, hey man, you're a good father. And I think to myself, I am, but I'm not the best I could be. I'm not putting in enough quality time. I don't want to be a number 2 dad. I want to be a number 1 dad. I want my kids to have other mentors and people they look up to, but they should always look to me and their mom for things and not have to look past us for everything. Nothing wrong with wanting to be being cool in your position, but my position in certain places, God should always be number 1. I should be number 1. I should be wanting to be a number 1 husband, a number 1 dad, number 1, son, number 1 in certain areas of my life and not play the number 2. Because that number don't go with every situation. But again, I thank you guys for listening. This has been another episode of the Agitators Asylum. I am your host, AJ, the Agitated One. And I hope you guys stick around for episode number 3 and beyond. Thank you.